I'm back. Fearlessly Free is back in the building. I just want to start off by saying I apologize that you've had to wait so long for this installment. And I just want to explain, I owe it to my listeners to explain the reason why it's taken so long for me to record this episode. Now, basically, in a nutshell, the long and short of it is I allowed negativity to discourage me from recording another episode. And you know when, you know, you feel like you are purposed to do something, can God instructs you to do something, but then the negativity comes. It's like when Adam and Eve was in the garden and the serpent comes up to Eve and was like, are you sure God told you like not to eat from the tree of good and evil? He tests you. He tests who you are. He causes you to question if you are doing the right thing. He causes you to question your identity in God. And when God tells us who we are and God tells us gives us an instruction of what we are to do to display who we are, whether it be in a gift or your business or, you know, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be opposition. And sometimes, yes, we know we get haters and we get naysayers, and the naysayers are telling you, nah, man, that ain't what God is saying. Like, are you sure God told you to do that? Like, are you sure God told you to leave your job to go and start your own business? Like, are you sure God told you, do you know what I mean, to go and buy that house? Or, you know what I'm saying? And like the same thing kind of happened to me, in that it wasn't negativity externally, it was negativity internally. So I had a lot of like negative self-talk, and I was in this place where it was just like, nah, don't do the podcast. Ain't nobody listening. Ain't no one trying to log in to their Spotify or their Apple podcast to listen to you. Like, and sometimes the negative self-talk that we have doesn't even come from us. But if Satan can't get you externally, he's going to get you internally, you know? And for me, that's what happened. And when I realized, like, oh my gosh, like, Selena, 3 weeks have gone past and you haven't recorded anything. And then we kind of got up to, like, next thing you know, it was like Christmas time, and that's a busy time for me. And, you know, and then January's come and a lot of home improvements are taking place right now. And it's just been like, oh my gosh. And now we're in February and it's like, oh my days, your listeners have not heard from you. And I've had nothing but like people getting on at me saying, nah, Selena, nah, for real, what's going on for your podcast? Because all now I'm waiting in anticipation for your podcast, and all now we can't hear nothing. And I just want to just thank everyone for encouraging me, those of you who have encouraged me to keep on going. Yeah, it's been a bit of a mad one. But later on, I'll, you know, in another episode, I'll kind of talk about like things like self-talk and the importance of ensuring that you are surrounded by the right people, but that you also feed your mind and your spirit with the right things, not just positivity, but like the word of God that has foundational truths of who we are in him. And it's so important for us to ensure that we are rooted in the word, so that when negative self-talk comes and the enemy disguises himself in the vein of one of your own thoughts, you're able to say, hold on a minute, that ain't from God. God ain't gonna tell me to do something 1 minute and then come back and tell me, nah, don't do it. I thought there's no point in me, you know, starting this episode and not also being transparent. I think what is so beautiful about being fearlessly free is that liberty to be transparent and to be truthful about where you're at, and not masking it with the I'm okay or yeah, I'm really good, when really and truly you're not. Sometimes, you know, you can be in such a fearlessly free place, but there's still things that you have to work out within yourself. And I feel like that is the journey of life. Like, we never arrive. We are constantly on a journey of evolving. So for me, I definitely have learned that, you know, I'm on this fearlessly free journey, but at the same time, I recognize that I have not arrived just because I'm here and I'm able to encourage and inspire other people to embark on this amazing journey. And whilst I celebrate how far I've come, I also want to share and have this moment of transparency with you guys to say that, you know what, pray for your sister, innit? Because I'm on this journey and it's not been easy. And there are still areas where I'm like, oh, like, oh my days, like, am I really doing this? And then doubt kind of comes in, you know? So yeah, let's crack on. Some of you may or may not remember, but I'm gonna refresh y'all memories. Okay, today's installment is about the church player. Dun dun dun. Okay, so today's episode is entitled Letter to the Church Player. So I'm just gonna tuck in. So I really felt like I needed to do this episode simply because, you know, me being the kind of person that I am, I'm going to talk out the things, innit, basically, the long and short of it is. But the reality is that, you know, oftentimes when I'm sharing like parts of my life story, lots of people are like, Selena, you need to kind of like write a book, or you need to talk about this and get this out in the public realm, like for people to hear. So here I am today, guys, talking about the church player. Now, the church player, by way of definition, of the dictionary, of the Fearlessly Free dictionary, that is, the church player is a guy who displays himself as, you know, a godly man. He's gung-ho for Jesus, he loves the Lord, you know, he might even be a leader in the church, or, you know, or a deacon or an usher, or, you know, he might even be the pastor. And, you know, he's that guy that just, you know, he's got all this charm, and he's just got, like, you know, so much charisma, and he woos you, and, you know, you fall for him, and he's, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he, you know, how I, you know, I've this little Freya's them have champion talk and lemonade money, or lemonade attitude, yeah. So really and truly, them, you know, them present themselves like they're the Laurent Perrier, but really and truly, there's the little one, little Carver, the one for $5.99 and aisle 10. So yes, so I'm gonna be talking about that guy. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately for me, however you want to look at it, I've got my fair share, just like, I guess, the rest of us out there. We've all got our stories of those frogs, those toads, them junkers that we've kissed. And so I'm going to share like little parts of my story. But again, I just want to say that this is not a platform to incite anger or to drag up and revisit past hurts and stuff. It's really, this episode is an episode to enlighten, to empower, and to just really encourage those of you out there who have been hurt by church players. And you know, you may have even lost hope and thought, well, boy, like, Lord, like, wagwan for me, are you gonna do it for me? You know, like, are you really gonna send me the one? So when I started preparing for this episode, I thought, okay, what can I share with my listeners? And whilst, yes, I've had, you know, about three experiences with church players, I thought, you know, I'd kind of like just talk about like the characteristics of the guys that have really kind of like messed me about and like messed with my heart. And just their characteristics is in that they are manipulative, they try and play mind games, they present themselves to be really interested in you, want to do all the things that, you know, couples do, you know, late night conversations in the car after the prayer meeting, or if they've taken you to the cinema or out for a meal, or really intimate embraces, the way that they would kind of look into your eyes, and certain dialogue in that, you know, it's the dialogue is very much that of mutual attraction. They would allude to like marriage with you and all of that kind of stuff. And then when it all starts to get to the stage where it's a case of, okay, where is this going? They then shut down and just say, oh, no, do you know what? I'm sorry that I led you on. Or they'll send you a text like one of them did and said, you know, if I've led you on in any way, or I want to apologise for entertaining certain behaviours or conversations, when in actual fact, I had no intention of pursuing you to be my significant other. Their behaviour is just so contrary to their words. And for me, it's a case of, why go through all of that effort? Why use up all of that energy if you are not going to pursue any further than just this section of the pitch, as it were? Like, you're just out there just playing about with God's daughters, alluding to marriage and speaking about relationships and why they are, you know, why they like you and why they're so attracted to you. And but when it comes down to it, the crux of the matter is that they like the idea of being in some form of a relationship with someone that they're attracted to or is attracted to them. Or it, you know, it could be a mutual thing, but in actual fact, they are either not willing to commit, or they just don't like you in the first place. Or in some, you know, in one of the cases, it was very much a guy that, you know, in my last church, he enjoyed stringing the women along. So he enjoyed the dating and the conversations, and, you know, he would even go as far as like praying with you about, you know, being a significant other or marriage and partnership. And, you know, even the way that he would touch you, it was more than just a friend kind of like interactions and very tactile. But, you know, sending this message that he had feelings for you, or there was somewhat of an attraction, but then when it came down to it, or when it was brought to the pastor's attention, he would then say, oh no, well, it's kind of all in your mind and that's not what I meant. And, you know, and because obviously there isn't an explicit conversation to say, well, this is what this relationship is, you know, defining the relationship conversation, as they call it, or DTR for short, it's that whole thing of, you're kind of left feeling and looking like the fool. So on today's episode, what I'm going to talk about is one of my experiences, a more recent one, and just talk about, you know, how that kind of impacted me, but also more so honing in, because this is a letter to the church player, it's really about directing particular questions to him. And I guess my theory on why they, you know, these types of guys behave in this way. So yeah, here's my experience. Get your popcorn. Let's get to it. So I met this guy a few years back, and at the time that we met, we didn't actually get to connect. And that was just because a lot of things was kind of going on in our personal lives at the time. So, you know, we weren't really able to like meet up for a date and stuff. Quite a bit of time lapsed. I think it was about 18 months. We ended up following each other on Instagram, but because nothing materialised, I then kind of unfollowed him. But I didn't delete him from my followers, because I guess I didn't want to really kind of like come across as like harsh, Do you know what I mean? And I think that that basically stemmed from the fact that after I left my last church, I was just running through the streets with my AK-47 and just shooting down the place. I was cussing off whoever needed to be cussed. I was cutting off whoever needed to be cut off because I just had enough of people. I thought people were hypocrites. These, you got these people out here in these churches going on like they're saved when these times they're acting like they're Satan's twin, and ain't nobody got time for that. So for me, I was very like cutthroat, and I'm very black and white by nature anyway, but I recognised that God was doing a work in me in that he was like, Selena, you can't really go through life like that. Like, you can't just be so cutthroat with people because there's an absence of grace in your approach. And the God that I am is a God of grace. And if you're saying that you want to reflect me, then where is your grace? So I think because I was in that journey, I was in that headspace, I was like, yeah, Selena, do you know what? You can unfollow him, innit? But you don't need to delete him like that because, you know, you're just out here just cutting off people left, right and centre. So that was the reason why I didn't delete him as one of my followers. So basically, fast forward now, I see the picture of him getting baptised and he wrote one long script about his baptism and how he's being converted. And at the time, because I wasn't, my shape, like, the where my mind was, I wasn't even trying to look, I weren't even looking for no man, to be, the truth be told. I was just, like, genuinely happy that, like, a brother got saved, innit? So I, you know, me being, like, I love seeing people get saved, innit? That's just one more person for the kingdom of God that's been snatched from darkness, like, do you know what I mean? So I was ecstatic. I was like, yes, Jesus. Because, you know, I was even more happy because he and I had talked about our journeys in Christ. And, you know, he was kind of like, you know, at a similar place, completely different, you know, backgrounds, but in a similar place to me when we'd previously spoken, in that, you know, he wasn't really consistent in church. Well, so he told me. And he wasn't really consistent, like, in his, like, journey with God and stuff. So I was, like, ecstatic. And I just sent him a non-flirtatious message innocently. I was like, oh, praise God, like, I'm so happy for you. And I was like, do you know what, now that you've taken, just a word of encouragement, it was like, now that you've taken this step, you know, the enemy's just going to try it, but just make sure that you keep, you know, you surround yourself with like-minded people and people that you can be accountable to, and just really pray for you and stuff like that, you know, outside of church and stuff, you know. And he was like, oh, thank you so much for your message. Da, 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 da. And that was it. Like, you know, I think like maybe like a couple weeks later or something, like he must have messaged me again. I think to like invite me to like his church or some worship thing that they were doing or whatever. And I wasn't really interested. So I was like, yeah, nah, like politely just declined. And then he was like, oh, you know, well, feel free to hit me up on your on my number. And I was like, oh, I don't have your number anymore. Like, because in my head, I'm thinking it's not really like that. It's just a one-off Instagram message, rude boy. Do you know what I mean? But he was really courteous and polite. And I just thought, oh, you know, obviously, because I was in that place of not being, I guess, cutthroat with people, I was like, oh, all right, cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, bros just got baptized. Like, how harmful can this be? Kind of thing. So anyway, we were messaging, like, and it kind of took me a while to even message him on WhatsApp, actually, because I didn't do it like straight away. I think maybe like a couple weeks later, then I thought, oh, do you know what, it could be a bit rude, like, if you don't like message my man, innit? So I messaged him on WhatsApp and then we began talking and he was like, oh, like, we should meet up like for coffee or something. When the man said coffee, I was like, right, yeah, like, coffee's all right, isn't it? Because it's not no dating. Like, I'm not on you like that. I don't want you to think that I'm trying to, like, date you or nothing like that. Like, I'm just happy that you got savory, boy. Do you know what I mean? So, anyway, I was like, yeah. But as it was after work, there weren't really, like, no coffee shops, like, around our area or whatever. So we met up in Creams. So we was talking and whatever. And, you know, and we was talking about my journey and he was talking about his journey and, you know, and so on and so forth. And he invited me to his church, and I was just like, because them times there, I just weren't on it. I was just like, nah, drop me out, innit, bruv? So he was like, so then I just started to kind of like quiz him about his church. I was like, what's the pastors like? What's your church ethos? Like, what are they like when it comes down to money? Like, is there this emphasis on paying like out bare money after you've done paid your tithes and offering? Like, what's your church saying in it? Give me the rundown. So he was just kind of like, you know, filling me in on the church and that. So I was like, oh yeah, you know, I'll think about it. So that was like in the July. And I don't think, I didn't attend his church until like, towards like maybe August or something like that. So I feel like it was like the beginning of the July, me and him met up. And then like, maybe around August or maybe late August or something like that. Like I went to go and visit, and the church people were so nice. Like, they seemed really genuine and whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. But obviously I'm still on the fence, innit? No one don't need to know me. It's not that deep. Like, do you know what I mean? Anyway, cut a long story short, me and this guy, we're talking, like, we're going out more, we're doing things that couples do, like going out on dates, cinema, like went Bodine's, man's paying for the ting, like, do you know what I mean? And like, just, you know, all these good morning queen texts and like, you know, he was really showing the behaviours of a man that was pursuing a woman, do you know what I mean? And we'd have conversations and, you know, really getting to know each other. And then, like, you know, I stayed at his house and he stayed at mine. Big red flag. Should I never stay at no man's house? You don't do those things. You just don't do it. You know, like that. What if you're not in a relationship anyway? You know, like that. So basically, if you're not in a definitive relationship, you shouldn't be doing them things. So basically, fast forward now, good few months, we're coming towards like the end of the year, what was this, like December, and Tutu's like, the January must have come, and I'm like, do you know what, see, you have not got time to be in some limbo relationship, some kind of sort of is, kind of sort of isn't relationship. Ain't nobody got time for that. I'm a woman in her 30s. I do not have time to be, this ain't no 15-year-old, like, you know, puppy love. We ain't got time for, oh, I'm just seeing Gary from down the road. No, there's no seeing here, innit? You know, like that. You're either in the ting or you're not. So I said to him, like, rude boy, like, you know what? Like, I got feelings for you, innit? Because I ain't got time. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what is this? Like, you're sending me signals, do you know what I'm saying, that are clearer than Morse code, like, it, and traffic light. The signs and the signals are very, very clear to me. You understand? And we're having certain conversations in our body language and just the way that, like, you know, our interactions. And obviously, you got to remember, like, I've stayed at the man's yard, the man stayed at mine. Like, so all of these things are going on. And I don't stay at no man's house, innit? I like my nice king-size bed. And I make sure that I return to my bed every night. So for me to be staying out at your house, that means that, you understand, you have a certain place in my heart. You understand? So anyway, you know, that was a January. Then he was like, I'm laughing because I'm like, no, you didn't. Brother man, no, you didn't play me like this is Monopoly and snakes and ladders out here, you know, like that. Okay, so anyway, he comes back and he's like, what did I do to lead you on? I was like, oh no, you didn't, man. Nah, like, real talks. No, you didn't just try and play me. Yeah, like, this is Pall Mall. You understand? On the little Monopoly board. No, you didn't, rude boy. No, you didn't. My man's all got the dice and ting, rolling dice. You get me? Got the little get out of jail free card and all them ting there with my life. Are you on crack, rude boy? Is that what time it is? So anyway, I was like, oh, it's like that. I was like, all right, cool. Because basically, if, you know, if me and you are on different pages, then, you know, we just have to redefine the dynamics of this friendship. Do you understand? And I was cool with it because obviously I'm on my fearlessly free journey now. So people's behaviors and how they respond to me or how they handle me, like, don't really impact me in the way that they used to. Because one thing that God has done with me is he's really just restored, like, my self-confidence in who I am because of, you know, I showing me who I am in him. So if a man wants to, like, treat, like, ill-treat me and not treat me like the queen that I am, then I'm bouncing. Do you know what I mean? So that was that now. I was like, all right, cool. So where we would speak to each other every day, I don't need to call you rude boy. You know, like, what am I calling you for? I can speak to Jesus every day. Furthermore, yeah, I was speaking to Jesus every day, but I'm saying I don't need to speak to you in addition to speaking to him, you know, like that. So anyway, so then what happened was I'd already given him an invite to my dad's birthday. And, but because obviously the dynamics of the friendship have changed, I'm not expecting, you're not coming, innit? Like, you're not coming. So he then messages me and then, like, a couple of weeks later, and he's like, oh, what's the plan for your dad's birthday? Like, do you need any help with anything? Remember, like, obviously I've said that I'll help. I want to keep to my word, whatever, whatever. So I was like, oh, see, just louder man, innit? Just leave him. But then at the same time, I guess I was kind of grappling with this whole don't be so cutthroat as well. Like, don't be so, like, because I would have just cut him off and I would have been fine with that and gone about my merry way. Like, it's no skin off my nose. Like, do you know what I mean? But I was like, okay, cool. And in hindsight is the best sight, isn't it? It was the wrong decision for me to allow him to come. So anyway, he's come to my dad's party. He's helped, like, tremendously, like, you know, give him props for that little one thing there still. But you know, we had an opportunity to speak and I was very transparent because now fearlessly free, isn't it? So I just free up the things there. I just free up the truth. Whatever I've got to say, I'm saying it to you, isn't it? No bars held. And I'm speaking to him and I was like, yeah, I wasn't really going to talk to you again. Like, do you know what I mean? Because you're on some play thing and I'm in my mid 30s and you're on some joke thing. Like, my name is Clown. Like, what is this? It, like, nah, drop me out. So he must have said, like, you know, like, I'm really sorry. And he was just like, I really like you. Like, let's just kind of, like, see where things lead kind of thing. Another red flag. Can I just say that's another red flag? See where things lead. What am I, an electrician? Like, were you going with the leads, rude boy? What is the... Nah, drop me out, innit? Like, no. So, obviously, I'm saying all these things now because hindsight is the best sight. But whilst I was in it, I was like, oh, okay, cool. All right. And he seemed really genuine. And that's the thing. Like, my man was, like, proper, like, genuine. And he seemed really sincere. But if anyone's watched Dirty John, then that's nothing to go by. You know, like that. Like, serial killers have really nice attributes. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, Satan had really nice attributes. That don't mean nothing. Like, at the end of the day, do you know what I'm saying? So anyway, he was like, no, let's see, like, you know, where things lead. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, all right, cool. That's fine. But I was still on the fence. I was just like, yeah, nah. I'm not here to be played. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not a recorder. I'm not a keyboard. I'm not a flute. You understand? I'm a human being and I'm a queen and you need to treat me accordingly. So I was like, okay, let's just see. I'm going to see what he's saying. Anyway, cut a long story short, the February must have come now and he was like, you know, like, I just want to say, like, you know, I wasn't really telling the truth before when I said that I didn't have feelings for you. Like, I do have feelings for you, but you know, I didn't kind of like want to admit it. And I think we both were in the same position where we kind of knew that we had feelings for each other, but we just didn't really kind of want to say, kind of thing. And I was like, do you know what? Fair play, like, you are right in that, because I didn't really want to say nothing. But at the same time, I'm not about to sit on some never-ending, like, roller coaster ride. Like, do you understand? That's long for me. So he was like, you know, I've got issues, like, with my baby mother, and, you know, I don't want to... I need to kind of focus on my son at this current moment in time. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But however, and this was me just letting him know, like, I'm not going to be waiting around. Like, do you know what I'm saying? This ain't, you get me? Like, he must have thought I was a patient in the NHS hospital. It's not that, like, I'm not going to be waiting around, like, for all 2-3 hours on end. So I was like, okay, that's cool, I hear what you're saying, and thank you for your honesty. However, if you're telling me that your baby mother's been a certain way since your son was, like, before your son was born, and your son's hitting, like, 9-10 years old, then what makes you think she's going to change now? And, like, I ain't really going to be, wait, like, how long is a piece of string, kind of thing? And he was like, oh, you know, I believe God, I believe that God will, like, bring change. And I was like, yeah, I hear that. But, like, we're also not at the mercy of other people's behaviours and other people's decisions as well. So I already made up in my mind that, you know what, this guy's, like, he's just on, like, some joke thing. But me being the hopeless romantic, and I'll own that, and I'll put my hands up to that, I was like, okay, no, let me see Wagwan, do you know what I mean? And unfortunately, kind of slipped up in it, do you know what I'm saying? And had a bit of aubergine. And when I tell you that, I was like, nah, but really, Lord, like, big old 7 minutes. And you know, like, I just felt like God was like, yeah, that's why I told you to wait, innit? Like, you're out here, I told you to leave the man alone, and you're out here doing your own thing. So this is what you get. Obviously, God doesn't, you know, endorse fornication. But what I'm saying is that, you see, when we take matters into our own hands, like, you run the risk of having 7 minutes, like, and it's really not that great. You understand? It's just like, oh, really, Lord? You know them times, you know them ones where you just hold out and then all you get is 7 minutes? I was like, oh, Lord, I ain't never letting this happen again, like. But, unfortunately, it did. And I was like, both occasions, I was like, nah, but really, a whole 14 minutes of my life has been wasted on this man that is just out here playing with my emotions. Like, are you for real? So anyway, cut a long story short, it transpires that, you know, I was good friends with another girl in the church that had started around about the same time that I'd joined. And it turns out that he had been sleeping with her from many months before. And it turns out that he was lying about me to her and her to me. And what basically was exposed, that this was a guy that knew what he was doing. He was very calculated, you know, presented as though he loved Jesus, that he really wanted to serve in the church and so on and so forth. And I think also as well, because his mum was a leader in the church as well, it was that whole thing of, you know, I guess he had a good reputation because he was one of the leader's son. And I went to the pastors about it because, you know, they'd asked me, like, one of the pastors had asked me about who I was dating and stuff like that. And then, you know, I told them it was him. And and then obviously when this all kind of transpired, I went back to them and said, well, boy, this is what's going on, actually. Like my man's out here playing the field like his name is Raheem Sterling. So anyway, the pastor didn't handle it. I think it was that whole element of, this is something that, you know, they made me aware that it was something that they had known about, that this is not the first time that he's brought women to the church and then they've left because of how badly he's treated them and so on and so forth. So I was like, no, but hold on a minute, like, you know this. And I think what kind of hurt me was the fact that the pastor said, Selena, if you had told me that you was dating this guy, I would have told you to run a mile. And that's because he's brought about 6 or 7 women into the church and they've all left because of how he's kind of treated them. And, you know, he's used them for various, all different reasons and stuff. And, you know, I think what was so disheartening was it was twofold for me. It was because I was so guarded with this time round because of what I've been through in church. And then this guy, layer by layer, is kind of like eroded at those walls and got in. Do you know what I mean? And then on the other side, I'm disappointed with the pastors because I'm like, rah, really? Are you for real? Like, you know what this man is like. And not to say that it's about a controlling thing, but as shepherds, you know, as church leaders, for me, if I was in that situation and coming from a church leadership background, there's no way that I would have allowed particular things to continue to that degree. I think by the third or fourth woman, I would have been like, yo, Rubo, you have to take several seats now, you know, because, you know, you're really messing with God's daughters. You understand? So, you know, for me, I would have ensured that there would have been a greater level of accountability and transparency as a leader. If I spot like someone that's known for being a church player, I would feel no way to approach the young woman that he is pursuing and just say, rah, you know what, babes? It's better that you just leave Mr. Sterling alone. You understand? So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like for me, having had these experiences, this is something that is so widespread within the church world. And for me, I think what is so disgusting is that people feel, and I say people because there are women out there who use men to fill whatever emotional void they have. And what I think is disgusting is the fact that people are calculated with it. Like, they don't care about who they're gonna hurt, whose heart they're gonna crush, you know, who they're gonna humiliate and what shame they're gonna bring on people, as long as they get their fix. And their fix is an unquenchable thirst that cannot be satisfied, because what they are craving for can only be satisfied by God. And it's only until they go to God and confront their issues and say, yo, like, I need to really fix up and I really need to allow God to heal me in these broken areas that cause me to inflict hurt and pain on other people. But, you know, my friend, she's got this phrase called dirty pride. And there's so many people out there that just have this thing called dirty pride. Rather than just going out there and saying, do you know what, Lord, I hold up my hands. Yeah, I feel incomplete, or I feel inadequate, or I feel broken because of X, Y, Z. It could be because of a breakup. It could be, you know, because of poor relationships with a parent or a sibling, whatever the case may be. It could be because of bullying, you know, at school or college that has caused you to have a warped mentality and perception of yourself and the people that you are pursuing. And so rather than confronting that and saying, Lord, do you know what? I need help. And I'm going to choose a couple of people who I know I can trust with these secrets and with these issues, who are going to help me and pray me through something that could actually be, you know, yes, it's delicate, but it could also make you feel quite embarrassed because you've got this bravado, this dirty pride that is a display of a false sense of security within yourself, when in actual fact you are a little boy or a little girl inside that has got a whole heap of plasters all over yourself because you've tried to just surface heal your wounds. And as a result of that, you know, that's where that phrase hurting people, hurt people comes into play, because there are so many hurt people that are out there inflicting hurt on others. And all you have to do, my brother, all you have to do, my sister, is go to the cross, find a counselor. And I'm not that kind of person that's going to sit down here and say, just pray it true. I don't believe in that. Yeah, I believe that. Yes, you need to pray. You need to. Who else knows you better than God? Who else knows you better than the one who created you? Yeah. So definitely you need to pray. The Bible talks about how when we pray, you know, the Holy Spirit enlightens us and he gives us understanding and he enables us to pray about things that we might not even know that we need prayer for. Do you understand? And so, and you know, that scripture is found in Romans, where it talks about how the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. That basically is saying that the Holy Spirit shows us by way of spiritual revelation of what it is that we actually need to pray about. So when you're praying, yes, the Holy Spirit will give you pointers on, you know, the root causes of your behavior, your dysfunctional behaviors and thinking. But then in addition to that, you need to go and get some kind of counselling. And I don't feel embarrassed to tell people, I will say this all the time, I was in 18 months worth of therapy. And I don't feel embarrassed to say that at all. And that therapy saved my life. I was completely broken. And as much as I was praying to God and saying, Lord, help me, heal me, and so on and so forth, at the end of the day, God has, you know, gifted other people and created this whole sector of therapeutic practitioners to be able to support people and invest in the well-being of people, of their minds, of their emotional health, of their mental health. So why can't we go out there and draw on those resources? So for me, it's so important. One point I want to say, my first point is, if you are a church player, you know, if you are that woman that goes out there from man to man, if you are that man that goes out there from girl to girl with no intention of settling down with the people that you are pursuing, go out there and go and seek help. You are broken. You are bleeding. You are oozing out pus. You are oozing out infection, and you are just transferring that onto the people that you are pursuing. So you need to go out there and get help. You need to, 100%. Because for me, you know, I'm thankful that, yes, I am, you know, quite strong in character. But that last situation with that guy that I just spoke about broke me. Like, because I was just like, no, you didn't. Like, I was wide open for this guy. Like, wide open. And he tore down my walls. I allowed him to break down those walls, and he saw those vulnerabilities, and he was like, yeah, boom, I'm coming for her, innit? What happened was he had to end things with me because he was pursuing another lady, and the lady that he was pursuing was actually a mutual friend of ours. And so he couldn't pursue her and get away with, you know, embarking on a relationship with her without our mutual friend, who's actually a close friend of mine, calling him out on it. So he had to just make up some kind of story to say, do you know what, Sells, this ain't really gonna work. And he chose to fabricate that. I'm thankful that it happened. However, I guess for me, the whole purpose of this episode is to really highlight that there are men out there, there are people out there, there are males and females out there in the church who do not respect God. They do not respect who he is. And so therefore, if they do not respect God, the sovereign God, the Most High God, then how can they respect others? And even more importantly, they can't respect themselves. And, you know, because once you have a true relationship with God, you then begin to understand who he is, the person of who God is, the loving God that he is, the sovereign God that he is, and all of those attributes of God make you fall in love with him even more. And when you love someone, it's like when you have a good relationship, like with your parent or your sibling, you will ride for that person. You love that person. You hold them in high regard. You respect them. And so if that love is not there, if that respect is not there for God, then you will not know how to love other people, and you will not know how to love yourself. You know, so when Jesus is saying, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself, you can only really know how to love yourself if you have an understanding of God's love for you. Now, God's love for us is so deep, so wide, so high. There's so many layers to God's love for us, so much so that he demonstrated it by sending his son to die for us. His blood was shed for our sins. Like, his blood was shed for us to be free. His blood was shed for us to be whole. And so if we don't have a true understanding of that, then we will not know what it is to love ourselves and in turn love other people. And so that leads me on to my letter to these church players. Like, your behavior is the byproduct of your lack of love for yourself, your lack of love for God, and your lack of knowledge of who he is. Because anyone who truly knows God will love themselves. Anyone that truly loves God will seek to love others and extend love and grace. And the characteristics, the attributes of God will shine through you in doing those things. And so for me, this whole letter to the church player is very close to my heart. Not only because I've been through it, but I'm surrounded by women who have also gone through it. And, you know, I'm surrounded by men who have been hurt by church playerettes, as it were. And it does come down to that point of, how well do you know God? Because the Bible says in 1 John that I love him because he first loved me. Like, he loves us. God first loved us. Like, you know, when you look in the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 1, it talks about before we were even formed in our mother's womb, God knew us, innit? He knew who we were. Like, he knew what time to release us on the earth. Yeah, so we were already created by God prior to our parents even meeting each other. And he knew us. He loved us from then. But he was like, okay, cool. In 1982, I'm going to create Selena Paris. And so, you know, God knew me way before my parents even knew each other. And he loved me from way before my parents were even born, you know, like that. That's the beauty of who God is. But unfortunately, if I don't have a revelation of that love for me, like that God has for me, then I'm going to go out there, and not only am I going to hurt myself, but in me destroying myself and hurting myself, I'm going to hurt others. Because if I'm not treating myself right, then I'm not going to know how to treat other people right. And herein lies the problem. You have these church players in the church who, you know, and I think, you know, when it comes down to men, particularly if we are referring to the black church, in the black culture, there's this culture of men ain't allowed to cry. They're not allowed to display their emotions unless it's, you know, anger and passion and strength. But really and truly, you know, we, you know, as we're coming to see the rise, or I guess a greater awareness of mental health in this day and age, we're seeing that in actual fact, those cultures, those traditions within our cultures have been very damaging for our men. They've been very damaging for our grandfathers. They've been very damaging for our fathers, our brothers, our male cousins, our sons. So it's so important for us to destroy and dispel that myth. And I love the fact that there is such an awareness, and there's a conversation that is going on right about now about mental health amongst men, because it's something that's not spoken about. And we don't know what these men go through behind closed doors. And I'm not sitting down here saying it's an excuse for their behavior. It's an excuse for them misusing us and playing us and treating us like, you know, like we are worthless. But it gives us insight and understanding as to why they are behaving the way that they do. It gives us insight into why they do not have the capacity to treat us like queens. When you think about the fact that, you know, if you're looking particularly in the Black culture, when you look in the African and the Caribbean cultures, you're seeing mothers, you know, allow their sons to get away with blue murder, like, you know, but their daughters, they're held to account for every little thing. Yeah. If the daughter doesn't wash up after herself, after she's cooked all the dinner and clean the house, mum will get down on her like a ton of bricks. But if the son does it, the likelihood is that he's okay and he's allowed to leave that until the next day, or the sister has to come and wash up after him, or the mother will do it for him. It's a whole different treatment of our sons. You know, our sons are allowed to bring a plethora of women into the household, whereas a woman, if the daughter does that, then she's frowned upon, she's looked upon as the hoe, she's looked upon as loose. And as much as, yes, we are now in the millennial culture and we're very much an outspoken people, us as millennials, and those who are older, our elders are starting to, I guess some of them are starting to adapt to this new culture that we have created amongst ourselves. But there is still that, there's such a disparity when it comes down to the males in the Black culture and the females in the Black culture. You know, men are not held to account for their dysfunctional behaviour, whereas women are judged, whether it be silently, whether it be with just a look, or you know, a word or a label. But with men, you know, if a man brings in a load of women into the home, you know, one for every day of the week, you know, it's a case of, yeah, I'm proud of you, son. Fathers are proud of their sons for bringing in, you know, a woman for every single day of the week. So it's that whole thing of how do we combat this? And the reality is, it's like I've said in a few episodes before, unfortunately, in the Black culture, a lot of the things that we've experienced by way of spiritual abuse has been because of cultural traditions and beliefs, and, you know, and because it's so deep rooted and it's very much embedded in the way that we think and the way that we parent and the way that we approach life and perceive life, it filters into the doctrines and the way that, you know, pastors lead churches. And so, you know, it wasn't a surprise to me when I went to the pastor at the time and disclosed what I went through with this person, and his response was, he wasn't shocked. He was like, yeah, I know what kind of man this man is. But there was no, you know, he wasn't held to account. Months had passed and the pastor still hadn't addressed his dysfunctional behavior. And so, you know, that, again, I guess it just reinforces my belief about, you know, and my experiences as well of how men, how different men and women are treated within the Black culture. However, we are now at a point where we are seeing the byproduct and the consequences of that behavior and those the ways in which we treat our men and our women in the Black culture. We're seeing how damaging to the men and to the women, because men are taught not to be accountable. Because if a mother just allows and overlooks her son's dysfunctional behavior, if a mother or a father will not hold them to account, then they're not going to respond well to God when he tries to hold them to account. You know, the scripture says in the book of John how God, how the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Now, when you have, and I think that's why also as well, when you look in the Black church, there's more women in the church than there are men. Now, I think, and this is just my own, I guess, my hypothesis, in that, you know, if men in our Black culture are not held to account, when the Holy Spirit does seek to convict them of their sin, they are not used, they're not accustomed to being held to account. And so therefore, when the Holy Spirit convicts them, the man is more like, if a man has not been taught accountability, he is not going, it's not going to bode well with him when the Holy Spirit convicts him of how he's treated another human being. And so herein lies the problem for me, in that, you know, particularly with the last situation, the young man was not held to account for his behaviour. His mother didn't hold him to account. And so he was allowed to get away with it and continues to get away with it. And there are so many churches out there where there are so many men and women who are allowed to continue with this perpetual dysfunctional behaviour that is harming so many people out there who genuinely are just looking for love, and not even out of desperation, you know, because there is obviously a group of people who are just desperate, and so they will pick up anything and they will accept anything, and they will not learn from these kind of situations, and so they'll move from dysfunctional relationship to dysfunctional relationship and nothing is learned. However, there are a group of people who genuinely believe and who are mature enough and ready to actually pursue and embark on a healthy long-term relationship until death do us part. And so, unfortunately, people like us, you know, I consider myself to fall into that latter category. People like us do get burnt because these church players aren't looking for the hoes and the loose women and, you know, the wasteman guys in the church who ain't going nowhere and who have no ambition. They are looking for women of integrity. They are looking for women who are ambitious and who have drive and who have vision and focused, and, you know, who really truly love God, because they are, they know that they're the ones that have the attributes that would meet and feed the needs and the voids that they're trying to fill with their dysfunctional behavior. So it's a perpetual cycle. And for me, one thing that I've learned from all of this is jumping from one dysfunctional relationship to another. But it's about me looking within myself and looking at what I can do differently to safeguard myself. Because just like Jesus said in the Bible, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He will turn away from them and say, I don't know you. And so we have to have that same attitude and approach when embarking on these relationships. And it's so interesting because since that last experience, you know, I've dated a few guys, you know, as soon as I see a red flag, I shut it down. I don't entertain it. I'm not looking to give anyone any second chances, because I believe that, you know, particularly for someone in my age group, we're of an age now where if you cannot own your behavior and your attitude, then who else can do it for you? You are an adult and you are responsible for how you think and the way you portray yourself and the way you conduct yourself. And no one else has that responsibility but you. We are responsible for our own actions and how we represent ourselves and how we represent God. And if you haven't got a handle of that at the age that we are now, and I'm talking for, you know, for us guys who are millennials, you know, the ones in who are in their 20s and 30s, approaching 40, if you haven't got that together now, then that's when you need to say, do you know what? Let me put my hands up and let me go and get some help, whether it be a life coach, whether it be a mentor, whether it be counselling, or whether it be all of the above. But something needs to change before you place yourself in someone else's life, because they cannot and they should not have to put up with your dysfunctional behaviour because you choose not to change. So, church players, take responsibility for your actions. Irrespective of whether your parents colluded with your dysfunctional behaviour as a child, it's not cute on you now as a man. You're a full-grown adult and you're out here just defecating on women who are innocently looking for their significant other. And pastors, you need to hold your
congregation to account. When you see dysfunctional, toxic behaviour, you need to address it. There's many a scriptures, like I can just think off the top of my head, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it talks about a man continuously being in the same sin. Do something about it. And women, I want to leave you with the definition of freedom. It says the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. And I want to encourage every single one of you who has been hurt and crushed by church players, choose today to no longer be imprisoned or enslaved. Your better is coming. God sees all. He does not sleep. Forgive, release them, release yourselves, and let it go. I've been fearlessly free. I'll speak to you all on my next installment. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.